Welcome to Malcolm Reed's How to Barbecue Right, a podcast where we talk about barbecue, share recipes, and discuss all things delicious. And now, here's your host, Malcolm and Rochelle Reed.
Hey, let me tell you about Schwenk Grills. Schwenk Grill is a portable 1500-degree cooking machine. It uses infrared heat, which is perfect for cooking steaks to perfection in as fast as 3 minutes. You can cook just about anything from steak, lobster, even pizza on a Schwenk Grill. They have all kinds of accessories available. Just go to their website and check them out.
And there is a link in the description for our listeners to receive $150 off Schwenk Grills. Use the coupon code HOWTOBBQRIGHT. And that's SCH Wank
Grills. All right. How's it going today? Welcome back to the How to Barbecue Right podcast. I'm Malcolm Reed, your host, and I'm joined by my lovely, talented co-host, Miss Southern Shell. We've got Tyler over on the board. Folks, what's happening?
You missed Greg Grimpy this week.
Man, I got to kick this show off. And I deserve all the hell that everybody's given me. I'm so sorry, Greg. I apologize. I do not like to miss stuff. And this was totally my fault. Look, I've been going on Greg's show for like 10 years now. And I screwed it up. Now, I mean, come on. Now, he ought to be prepared for somebody to miss the show. I mean, that's kind of on Greg's fault for not being ready. But it's not really funny because Tyler, I got to apologize to you too. Because I kind of got on Tyler. I was like, man, I'm going to need you there today. I'm going to, you know, we got to get this thing right because we've messed it up the past few times. And I was just out 1 week. Like one time I had people at the camp, so I had to do it remote. My mic sucks there. It does sound a whole lot better when I'm able to do the podcast in here. And then we've had some technical difficulties. I'm not gonna lie, but I got on Tyler
Tuesday.
I got on like we were filming that week, and then we came back here to meet somebody.
Yeah,
and then I was like, Tyler, just give me some time this afternoon. We'll sit down. We'll make sure everything's right. Tyler had it hooked up perfect. Like all I had to do was take them out. He had already typed my name and the passcode in the site while I was sitting here. All I had to do was press enter, and I dropped the ball. I messed up bad. I got home. What was that? 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
The show was at 8 o'clock, so 5 hours later. Well, by the time I met some people here, I went home. Got Michael. Took him to the gym. I come back home. You cooked dinner. I jumped in the shower and I was in bed. Look, now I'm telling y'all, I was in bed, had the TV on and was flipping through TikToks. Didn't think nothing about coming back up to the office and doing that show.
You jumped up and said, oh crap.
And you were still like, you were in the living room editing a video, and it was like 8:14 and Greg texted me, we're on. And I was like, holy crap. Shell, I got to go. I'm late. And so, man, I jumped up, threw my clothes on, text Greg, said I'm on the way. And I got down the street. I mean, well, it takes me, 10 minutes to get to the shop?
Yeah.
And I got halfway there, and he said, don't worry about it. You know, it wouldn't be a time to do the interview. And I apologize, man. I don't like standing anybody up, and it's that one was totally mine. There's no excuse. There is no excuse to accept.
Greg kind of gave you some crap about it, which he should have.
Yeah. Hell yeah, I would have. Somebody would have stood me up. Make me look bad. He recovered. I mean, it was pretty funny. He didn't. I mean, he wasn't too hard on me. I think people with comments were hard on both of us. All of a sudden, we've turned into a nothing but an ad show, supposedly. And thank you, Blue Plate, for being a sponsor of the Barbecue Right podcast. Real mayonnaise quality since 1927. But I did see one comment that was hilarious to me. They were talking about Greg. They said he'll interrupt the ad with the ad to do another ad. Hey, you got to pay the bills. I mean, this podcast ain't free.
Yeah.
We're paying. I mean, you know, even the dickum lights draw money. I got on me making me look good.
They working hard.
Working hard.
Y'all are supporting my three kids.
That's right. We got to pay Tyler. He's got three kids. I mean, we got to make a little bit of money. I'm not going to do, you know, ads the whole show, but.
Greg Grimpy also talked about, he had a panel and they were asking like, are you surprised or not surprised?
That's the one Sam was on. Yeah, Sam was the only one that was right. He was 100%. He hit the nail on the head.
Let me preface it. Right. You're jumping ahead. Right. You're drinking that Alani, got all fired up this morning.
So she got me. Now this ain't an ad, but I am drinking this. What is this called? It's the Kim-Aid. Is this some daggum dashy and stuff? Yes, you got me drinking in a pink can. It tastes pretty good. 100 milligrams of caffeine.
So Greg Grimpy was incredibly surprised, and everybody on his panel was except Sam the Cooking Guy, that you aren't cooking Memphis MA or Smoke Slam this year. But, and Greg had a good point. He said that as long as he's known you, you've always had a goal to win Memphis MA.
Yeah, that was back in when I was really into competition barbecue. Now I'm really into a schedule, business, grown-up stuff. Like, yeah, it'd be fun to go to, you know, when I used to do Memphis MA, it was a 2-week-long party. We partied at Bodie, and we started partying on Tuesday night.
It was fun.
Every night, the whole time. Memphis MA is not like that anymore for me. I don't get to do all those things. And I realize, I mean, I've done this to myself, but it's just, to me.
You're constantly talking.
Yeah, it's that whole competition side and getting to do all that stuff is, I mean, I'm all for it. If it was just me and Waylon getting to go out and cook a contest, or you getting to go with us and do it, and that was all it was, pull up, cook, go home.
Hang out with your buddies on Friday afternoon, yeah. Drink some beers.
But it's not like that anymore. Yeah. So
I would say it's not as fun. It's nowhere near as fun as it used to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun.
I mean, they've done put politics in it. It's money in it. There's two contests that are probably going to ruin each other. I don't know what folks are thinking, man.
You're just going to set it out.
I'm going to set this one out. I ain't saying I'll never cook it again. I'll never cook either one of them again. But, I mean,
I hope you don't.
I haven't cooked since last Memphis MA. And it wasn't a great Memphis MA. I mean, we did all right, but it wasn't. Just the whole time, it was like, man, they were police. It was like Gestapo tactics down there. You know, we're going to fine you for everything you do. Stay off the grass. It was like an old man telling you to keep off his lawn, the way I felt. Like you were the stepchildren. I was like, dang.
They've always kind of treated you that way, but it's gotten really bad lately.
Yeah.
But
surprised. So
have you given up on the dream?
What dream? I'm living the dadgum dream. What do you mean? I get to talk about barbecue and cook barbecue every day of my life. Who could ask for more with you filming it and Tyler and all my friends? And
oh God,
I got my buddies working for me, and man, this is awesome.
Somebody said it might have to do with the marriage decision.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to keep a happy house. Got to keep that wife happy.
That could not be further from the truth.
Shell's like, you were anti-Memphis MA. He's like, let's get on there and bash him. And I was like, oh, you know, I don't bash nobody. Even Greg for talking bad about me.
I've never said, let's get on there and bash him. That does not sound like me at all.
I'm not fighting, I promise. No, you just like tell it like it is, don't you?
Yeah, I like to tell it like it is.
Don't hold no punches.
But if you would have said, we're cooking Memphis MA this year, there's no like...
You'd have been like, well, I guess we're cooking Memphis MA.
This year. So this week, you did a char-grilled chicken sandwich.
Yes, I did. It was a jerk chicken sandwich.
Char-grilled jerk chicken sandwich. What did I say? I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about you rearing me. I'll show you, Brewer.
I'm going to catch it for that one. Probably shouldn't have done that. I'm blaming that on Kim K. She got me all caffeined up here. I ain't drank but half of it. I might need to push back.
So this week you did a char-grilled jerk chicken sandwich.
I did. I love jerk chicken. And it's just it's a different flavor. You get some sweetness. You get some spice. You get that little bit of essence of clove or whatever it is, or nutmeg or... You know, it's just that it's that allspice effect, and it just goes with chicken. And when you char it up on a grill and you get all those little crunchy bits of flavor, the chicken itself, and this one, instead of doing like, you know, traditional jerk chicken, they'll take a whole chicken and then cut it up into pieces, or they'll split the chicken and they just got it going on an old drum style grill over some low heat to get the chicken, you know, up to temp. And then they'll start putting it over the hot coals and they burn pimento wood down. Well, I don't have that. So I was like, what could I do to make an interesting take on a jerk chicken sandwich? And I know that we love my whole family. We love the boneless, skinless thighs.
Yeah.
You're not really eating good chicken unless you know those for some reason. It's just juicy and they're tender and you can't dry them out. And
they're not. And when you char grill them.
Oh man, it's even better.
Yeah.
So I did a jerk marinade. I whipped me up a jerk marinade to put the chicken thighs in there straight out of the pack. I didn't trim them or anything. You know, sometimes they have some fat and stuff.
Yeah.
On them, but
some, have you ever taken the time to trim?
Yeah. When I do that burn ass chicken for like a contest or something like that, I would trim it up. But when I'm just burning and turning it, man, all that stuff kind of chars up anyway. And you get some of that fat dripping because it starts rendering over those coals and it smells good. It smells like you're out at a jerk chicken shack somewhere.
So you let the fire wash it for you.
Let the fire wash. Yeah. I don't need to wash my chicken.
I was expecting to catch some grief over that one.
Dude, you didn't wash those thighs right out of the package. Yeah, you just put them in the marinade. Can't believe that. Drug them through the barnyard and put them in the marinade.
Could you have just bought a marinade? Can you find a good jerk marinade anywhere?
They've got, so the brand that, it's an authentic, like, Jamaican brand. It's called Walker Wood. And but you got to watch that stuff, man. It gets fire hot.
Yeah.
Like, you can use too much of it. I've used it before, but I really think making up the homemade one tastes better.
And it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not
only a couple ingredients. Yeah.
You're not going to find Scotch bonnet peppers, or at least we don't find them in Mississippi.
What do you use?
Habanero.
Okay.
But it's close to a Scotch bonnet. I've had different flavors of Scotch bonnet though. Like when we go to Jamaica and you'll try something. Well, some Scotch bonnets are kind of sweet and they've got that habanero sweetness, but they've got some heat, but they're not burning you down. Then I've had some that I can't even tolerate, like just blow my head off. So I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's like anything. We get jalapenos here.
I can get some jalapeno. I could eat like an apple, and then you get some jalapenos that are
make your eyes water. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like that. So, but you can, we substitute habanero for it. It's a sweeter hot pepper, basically.
You know, that'd be something good for me to look into, because I've heard that how you grow the pepper affects the heat level, like how hot it is outside and things like that. So
that's like, true. I've seen it because like those early season, when I've grown jalapenos in a pot, the early season jalapenos are the ones you could just eat raw. And then by the time they've set in that hot sun and they get hotter for some reason. I've got some so hot that I couldn't eat them.
Yeah.
Like I was like, this can't be jalapeno. I don't know how it got that hot, but it's just, I think it has something to do with the time of year and how much direct hot sun they've had or something, or maybe just a different species or pollinated different or something. I don't know. I'm no gardener.
So, you put your chicken in your marinade.
But it's and for the video, I think we did about an hour and a half, but if I was doing it like at home, I'd probably do it the night before.
Let it go overnight.
Let it really sit, because I mean that chicken thigh is neutral. So it's not going to get overly marinated or anything. It's going to take the flavor. You might want to watch that heat level if you did that, because you probably could get them really hot.
You think it'll just get hotter in there?
It depends on how much pepper you put to it.
You put pepper in the marinade.
I chopped up 4 or 5, whatever came in that little clamshell. I chopped them up, and I used some of it in the marinade. I just kind of raked it out. You know, I don't measure a whole lot of stuff. I'm just eyeball it most of the time, and I have to come up with these amounts just, you know, by testing it and stuff. But I just, when I cook, I eyeball a lot of times. So I just eyeballed. I said it was 2.5, 2, but it might have been 2.5, 3. I don't know. Could have got a little heavy. I didn't think it was too hot, though. Those weren't that hot.
I feel like with the marinade, you don't have to be exact. Yeah. But did you try the pepper? Like, just put the pepper in your mouth? Just a little bite.
I'm not eating habanero like that. I've messed up in, like, my finger to my eye one time and burned for, like, 2 hours. That stuff's hot, man. To me,
do you ever wear gloves to chop it up?
I have trouble chopping in gloves.
Yeah,
you have because I use my hands, and then when I get the knife close to it, I end up getting like chopping pieces of the glove. And I was like, nah, I'll barehand it, man. I wash my hands constantly when I'm cooking and keep them clean, so it's not like I'm
contaminated. If I chop jalapenos though, my fingers are going to burn for a couple hours afterwards.
Yeah, you're.
I'm very sensitive to stuff.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It is.
Like, you could irritate your hands because stuff, but I guess people, you know, certain skin types, it affects them different.
I've heard that.
That's some pepper spray would jack you up. I bet it would too. Have you ever been around pepper spray?
Uh-uh. No, I don't really want to. It's not on the list.
You never been on the wrong side of a pepper spray can?
Have you ever heard what stops the burn on your fingers?
No, what is it? Is that the one somebody's got to pee on you?
I think you can pee on yourself.
Yeah. Sure, that's not jellyfish.
I've never tried it.
I don't think that's for pepper burning. You don't want to get no peppery hands close to anywhere where that's happening. I've done that. That ain't fun. I tell you what'll get you too is crawfish, man. Crawfish. Eating spicy crawfish.
I have to wear gloves when I eat crawfish.
Yeah. See, I don't do that, but you say this crawfish can burn.
Mm-hmm. I'll burn. It'll burn for hours. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it'll be burning. Anyway, so back to your char grilled chicken. So you set up a two-zone fire.
Two-zone fire, and all that is hot coals on one side, nothing on the other side. So you got a cooler zone. Is it a cool? I call it a cool zone, but it's just a cooler zone. It's not over direct heat, basically. And you could even
direct.
Yes, you could put, like, to keep it separated, you could put it like a little aluminum pan in there. If you wanted to add a little moisture or something, you could to make it cool a little more.
Is there any point in moisture?
It's just a heat sink.
Yeah, like when you're cooking that hot.
Yeah, whatever gets in there, it's only going to get to like 212, whatever it could boil at. And that's as hot as it could get. So it, you know, it kind of creates, you're not doing anything with the moisture evaporating on something like that.
But. I was just wondering, since you're keeping it open most of the time anyway, is there even any point to that?
With the thighs, they cook so fast. I mean, it's basically just get them over the direct heat, let them get seared good, and just kind of keep them flipping. And then as they get done, just move them over to a cool side so you ain't got to take them up because you're going to glaze them and then put them back over and glaze them.
Do you think most people know about a two-zone fire or use a two-zone fire?
Yeah, I would think. I mean, that's not like that's
it ain't rock
nothing
science,
new.
Yeah.
But how many times do you see people get a bag of charcoal?
That's what I'm
fill
saying.
Up a grill with it, get the lighter fluid or get some, you know, some kind of starter, get it started, and they've got this whole charcoal, you know, grill full, and then they cook something and they're burning the crap out of it. It's cooking way too hot. They're, you know, fighting that, trying to squirt water on it. They fight through the cook, you know, get their burgers or steaks or whatever charred, you know, beyond charred. And then the grill's just now ready to cook.
Yeah.
You know, it's like ready to go for two hours. They put so much charcoal in it. But you don't need that much. I mean, you know, you always kind of got to cook to your grill. So I like to keep mine coals on one side, little area, safe area. And you don't always have to do it to the side. You could, you know, you can make it to where you put them in a pile and you just had safer sides out on the edge. But I like to have a place to where when I'm grilling something, because, you know, grilling is different than slow cooking. You know, you're slow cooking, you're trying to get it to burn slow, but grilling, you want it really hot to get that sear effect on stuff. And you need that safe spot because stuff will flare up and you're going to get meat juices dripping and you're going to have fat rendering and all that stuff that can cause flames. And some stuff, I want it to be flame kissed. I want that meat doing that. But if I start seeing a piece that's getting too darker or too hot or something, I can move it over to a safe zone and I don't ruin the meat. That's the whole point of it.
So do you always do a two-zone fire? Even when you're cooking steaks, ribeyes? Let's say you're burning three ribeyes for dinner.
It depends. Like if I'm cooking on my PK, I don't usually do a two-zone because I know I've got a steak that's I'm going to cook it.
You don't need
minute
it.
And a half, minute and a half, put another raised rack and get it to temp and then take it off. So I don't really do a two-zone on that one. That's some instances where I wouldn't. But anytime I'm doing batches of stuff like that chicken or something like that, I do. I was cooking on a big grill, like I had plenty of room, I would probably always do a two-zone instead of just filling the grill up. Because I know I don't need a bag of charcoal to cook something. Yeah. You know? I'm not trying to cook for hours.
And you can let it sit over there and you stay warm.
Right.
In the cool zone. So you grilled the chicken, got them kind of char grilled. How long did it take to get to the glazing point?
So I kind of did those in two batches. And I'd rather work in batches than I had try to get all that chicken on one grill and get it cooked fast. And so that was another reason why that two zone helps, because it gives me a little area to move that first batch to. But I would say they cook about every minute I was probably turning them. I probably went through three turns. So 5 to 6 minutes was how long it takes it to grill. Then I move them to the side, do the next batch, get them grilled. And they're not all the way done. If I had to guess, probably 160, 165. And I like taking those thighs to 175. So that's when I would put them back over, brush them with sauce. As soon as I brushed it, flip it, brush that backside. Once I get all that backside brushed, it's about flipping it back. I'll see if I'm getting that little char that I want. If I don't, you know, after a minute, I'll flip it back over and do that for like 2 minutes. So the total cook time would be 8 to 10 minutes. That's how long it should take you from raw, coming out of the marinade, going on the grill, to getting them, you know, 75% cooked or 80% cooked, and then sauced and glazed, and then finished. You're looking at 8 to 10 minutes top. So that is not, that's a fast cook any day of the week.
Yeah, you said your two, in the video, you said your two batches took you roughly 20 minutes.
At the most, yeah. Because I double, because it took, yep.
So when you're glazing, right. Do you do double glazing? Do you glaze once, flip, glaze again?
It just
again?
Depends on how it looks. You know,
it's all, yeah.
It's all in kind of look, but really, I tell you what, most of the time what I've done, and I didn't do it for the video, but I'll take them, I'll have me a little half pan sitting there, and I'll take those up. I'm sitting in the cool zone, and I'll just put those thighs over in that half pan. And when I get them all in there, I'll dump all of my sauce over them in that pan and kind of use tongs and flip them around and then go to the grill and start searing them. And then once I get them seared, I'm going to a, you know, my finished platter or whatever. So you don't have to constantly keep brushing them and stuff, but if they look like they need a little sauce, brush them up with a little more sauce. Yeah. It's really, man, it's easy. It don't get any easier in cooking chicken thighs like that. And I've never had one person say, oh, I don't like these.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I don't eat chicken thighs.
Yeah. Most of the time it's, what is this? Like, how did you cook chicken like that? I was like, oh, it's complicated. It is real complicated.
It's very juicy and flavorful.
If you,
you could do Greek flavors and serve it with pita bread, you know, and do kind of that direction. You could do Mexican flavors, do tacos.
Asian.
Yeah.
You can go any flavor. That chicken thigh will take on whatever flavor you want it to. That's what I like about it. I mean, it's versatile. And, you know, to start with them, just get you a Ziploc bag, put you a pack of boneless, skinless chicken thighs in it, dump in some Italian dressing, let them sit there and soak in that Italian dressing, bring them out, season them with your favorite barbecue rub, burn and turn them, and dip them in sauce, and then try that and tell me it's not delicious. Come back to me after you've done that and chop it up and put it on sliders or a sandwich bun or, so, you know, burger bun or something.
They're really good. So you didn't cut them up for the sandwich. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, you didn't leave them whole for the sandwich. Yeah. You cut them up. Yeah.
And usually that's, I mean, the only time I've left them really whole is for a contest where you had to stand something like fan them up, stand them up and serve them with a sauce to dip in. Whenever I'm cooking these at home or for people to eat or something, I always chop them up. Because usually we're making a sandwich or a wrap or putting them on nachos or, you know, or putting it on a pizza or something like that.
Ooh, pizza.
Yeah. Man, they...
Barbecue chicken pizza with those.
Oh, the Asian style ones makes the best fried rice.
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
You char grill those and get them chopped up just like I did for the jerk and then go to making fried rice and at the end add that crunchy burn-ass chicken to it. Done in like a... You know, like a teriyaki marinade or something like that. I mean, it's you can just make up your own. I've got a recipe on there that's really good for what I do for wings.
Trader Joe's has this vegetable fried rice. It's like frozen. It's really good. We actually ate it for dinner one night this week.
No, I was surprised when it was
good. It was really good. I mean, for go to froze to eating fried rice in, what, five minutes? Yeah.
If you got your chicken cooked.
You can't beat it.
Really good.
Anyway. So when you made these sandwiches, you used brioche buns.
Yeah, those.
Want brioche?
Because they look the best in the package. And Kroger has them back. They're back. They're not in the on the bread aisle. Oh, those did.
Mm-hmm.
I usually get them at. I usually buy them at Kroger too. But they are really good little rolls.
And they toast up really.
They're
good.
Soft and you can lightly toast them, and they just it looks fancy. I thought the pictures on that video. I was like, wow, you did a good job on those.
Oh, thank you.
Like something out of a magazine.
You're sucking up now.
Sure are pretty today, Shell.
What are you
even
himself.
Up to? Is there different rails?
There's totally different rails. You made a calypso sauce and a pineapple slaw.
Yeah, that sauce is, I've had it for the first time down in the Caribbean, and they served it with everything. And it is really good, but I had to find the key to that sauce is that Scotch bonnet pepper sauce. Yeah, it comes in like a hot sauce bottle. They have it on the international aisle. Like if your grocery store has an international aisle that has like some Jamaican or Caribbean food, they'll have that brand. And they'll have the Walker's Wood stuff too. But once you find that mayonnaise and ketchup is really all it is. And you can season it a little bit.
It's kind of like yum yum sauce. Instead of using sriracha, you use
That's exactly what it's like.
It's so good though. You can dip fries in it because it's spicy. I like it better than yum yum sauce because it has that kick.
I think the first video I did it with was that Big Mon burger, wasn't it?
I think so.
And it goes really good on a burger, like really good.
You could probably find that sauce or something. That Scotch bonnet sauce or something equivalent.
Yeah, like Island Fire would work. You know, and when I used that, I said, I probably should have used my Island Fire sauce.
Yeah, you should have.
I made that. That sauce is like the version. I was like, we don't have a sauce like this. And that's before I was seeing it, like Kroger. And I was like, the Island Fire is a little bit hotter. I don't know. Would you say it's hotter? Huh? It's sweeter. It's a little sweeter.
I've never compared them side by side. We need to do that. See which one's hotter, which one's sweeter. Pineapple slaw was pretty easy.
Yeah. All it is a regular coleslaw, add pineapples.
Yeah, but you don't use sugar.
The pineapples are sweet enough where you don't have to add any sugar, so it's probably a little better for you than regular coleslaw. Because, I mean, I buy a bag of slaw mix, and it already has some carrots and some radicchio or red cabbage in it. And then I add green onions, a little bit of chopped up red onion. And then for the sauce, you got to have some blue plate. In the Caribbean, I think all I saw was Hellman's, but we're going to use blue plate in the South. And then I added a little bit of mustard too, like Dijon. I put one cup of chopped pineapple. And, you got to add a little bit of vinegar, like red wine vinegar, whatever kind. You could use apple cider vinegar if you wanted to, and season, salt, and pepper. There's nothing crazy about that recipe. It was easy. But the sweetness, what the key to it is letting that pineapple in there, getting the pineapple in there and then letting it set in the refrigerator because it starts wilting and it starts kind of marinating the onion and softening it up. And it can, you don't want to add any extra moisture because you don't realize how much it's going to draw out of all those vegetables. The cabbage is going to give off a lot of moisture. And so it makes a thicker sauce. So really you can use less sauce. It doesn't take as much slaw dressing. When you put the pineapple in there and it just starts breaking it down and softening it up. It's a really good slaw. I ate on that slaw all week.
Yeah, it was really good.
And it didn't have any extra added sugar because that was fresh. Like I bought those spears that you see over in the produce aisle. Yeah, it was in a little plastic container, fresh pineapple spears. You could cut up a whole pineapple if you wanted to. But I feel like that's better for you than adding like white sugar to a coleslaw dressing.
Yeah. And it's better than your canned pineapples, which are typically it's loaded.
Sugar. Yeah, sugar. If you're going to, you could use can, but you want to get the ones in like juice, not syrup, because it's going to get too sweet.
Yeah, that pineapple slaw is really good, but I do feel like anytime you add dressing to any kind of slaw, it's going to like macerate.
Yeah, it's going to dry out all that moisture. Yeah, it does.
Dry out all that moisture. Because a lot of times if you're not used to mixing up coleslaw, it's easy to be like, oh, this is going to be dry. This is way too dry.
Now give it 30 minutes.
Yeah. Throw it in the fridge, give it 30 minutes, an hour, and it'll be.
Well, I always started. When I used to make coleslaw, it was like dump all your slaw in a big tub, add a whole jar of mayonnaise, pour in the vinegar, dump two or three, big scoops of sugar in there and stir it all up. Well, it's like you said, it's harder to mix it and all that. So I started making a dressing. Put your mayonnaise and your little mustard and your vinegar and your seasonings and anything you're going to put over in the side in a bowl. Then slowly add that to whatever, the coleslaw, the dry stuff. So keep your wet, keep your dry. Then when you start combining them, you can control how much of that slaw dressing's going in there because you probably don't need it all. And it's fine if you do, you still got it, but that keeps it from getting too runny from just, dumping and then all of a sudden you've got coleslaw soup. I hate that. I don't like it. Do you like getting coleslaw where you're like, you're at a luncheon or something and you get coleslaw and half of the bowl is all liquid up to the top and it's like soupy? That's not good coleslaw.
I feel like all your flavor gets in the juice that you're not going
to
eat anyway.
Yeah, but you do have to let it sit. Like coleslaw is not good to me just tossed in the slaw dressing and serve it immediately. I think it always needs time to sit for a good slaw.
Yeah. And if it sets too long, it loses all its texture. That's when we cater.
I can eat on it a week.
When we do catering.
If it's dressed properly.
When we do catering and things, if we have a slaw, we'll keep the dry, and the wet.
Yeah.
And then 2 hours before we serve, we'll combine.
Which is like optimal time. It gives it 2 hours rest in a cooler just hanging out. And then it's not all watery.
Yeah, it's not all watery, and it's
but everything's
crisp.
Coated and softened a little.
So when you built this sandwich,
Calypso on the bottom, toasty brioche, and then I had those stacker pickle slices, mm-hmm. which that's a good pickle
those
bite. Are,
you know, we like those restaurant deal pickles, but those classics,
they're good. But they're only good on a sandwich to me. Like, I'm not going to go by the fridge and pull one of those stacker pickles out. I don't know. It's floppy. But on a sandwich, it works because you get a bite of dill pickle on every bite. So I was like, that works pretty good on a sandwich. And so you had some green lettuce just for some extra vegetables. I probably should have added some tomato, but they really didn't have any good ripe tomato. They're hothouse tomatoes. They're not as good. If I was doing that sandwich in the summer, I'd use some fresh tomatoes on it. And then a big pile of the chopped up chicken, the jerk chicken with the burnt crunchies on it and the sauce all baked on the outside or caramelized on it. And then some of the slaw and then some more Calypso on the top bun and top it off. And you got
good.
$20 jerk chicken sandwich all day long.
You could totally make that a bar. Have some buns or some slaw. You can
let people assemble
bar.
Their own. They might not do it the right way. They might not put the Calypso on both sides and the pickle and the lettuce and the chicken. But I guess, hey, make it your way.
You can make it your way. You talked about doing a jerk chicken taco instead of a jerk chicken sandwich.
Yeah. And that was kind of my first idea. And I was like, do I really want it to? Because it would be a good, be kind of a fusion dish.
Yeah.
You got Caribbean meets taco, you know. But I was like.
And you could still use the slaw. You could still use the Calypso.
You could.
I
would all want
to use the Calypso.
It would all work. But I don't know. That sandwich was really, really good.
Fire.
I was just feeling sandwich.
This week, you also shared a chocolate cobbler recipe.
Now, that one will hurt you. If you've never had chocolate cobbler, you
and
talk
it was
about.
So easy.
Oh, man, it's just dump. Don't stir it up.
Don't stir it at all.
You just melt some butter. You mix your batter up. Just dump that in. And then cover it with the chocolate and all the, you know, the chocolate chips and the cocoa and the sugar and some hot water and then bake it. And it just stays. It's like a.
It's kind of bread pudding-y-ish.
Yeah.
Because there's some pockets that are still loose and there's some pockets that have turned to like bready, you know.
It's
very bread pudding-y.
It's the best part of a cobbler. Like the crunchy stuff mixed with the most just rich, chocolatey, you know, warm pudding. That's kind of like what it's like when you get a molten cake, that stuff that's inside. Is that like a ganache or something?
I don't know.
It's like a warm chocolate ganache or something. But then, so you scoop that out and you've got all this good topping and you got all that good chocolatiness in it. And then you finish it off with some caramel drizzle and some ice cream. Man. That's a dessert.
If you're not good at decorating.
That's the one for you.
Yeah.
If you're not good at desserts, people will think you are a maestro if you serve them that.
Especially if you put it a scoop with the ice cream and the caramel drizzle on top.
You could almost do them individually, like in little souffle dishes or something, and make little individual cobblers, and you got your own.
That's a good
idea. Or a little skillet, like a little iron skillet cobbler. Everybody got their own little skillet of it. You have to step the ratio back, I guess.
So you put in dark chocolate chips, but you could have used, I kind of wanted you to try these caramel chips.
Oh, I set myself up to do different versions of that.
You could do any kind of chips.
Next, I want to do
white chocolate.
Well,
what?
That's what I was going. White chocolate cobbler. How do you think that would be?
Would you use the cocoa or would you use something different?
I don't know. I don't have it. I mean, I just thought about it. It's like, because I know that. Like the white chocolate bread pudding is fantastic. It would kind of be something along those lines.
What's better, the white chocolate bread pudding or this chocolate?
I'd probably
cobbler?
Use like vanilla pudding mix for the layer with the sugar. Let that go in there.
So the no stir chocolate cobbler or that white chocolate bread pudding.
Which one's better?
Which one do you think's better? One of them's got the ice cream and the caramel. One of them's got the whiskey sauce.
Man,
they're pretty neck for neck.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you like dark chocolate or do you like white chocolate? It's kind of the deciding factor.
What gets me...
That's what puts
me over on the bread. If it was just the bread pudding without that brown butter whiskey glaze, because that just takes that bread pudding to a whole nother level. Because the only reason why I say that is we had it, was it Christmas? I made one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd forgot because I hadn't made it in a while. And I was like, this is just the most decadent thing that you can eat. And I was like, wow, this is, I mean, it blows me away every time I have that. Now, it ain't good for you. It is probably 6,000 calories. Yeah. I mean, it's like diabetic coma. God, you can't quit eating it. It is like addictive.
I do think you could put that whiskey sauce on that chocolate
on the slab
sauce.
Of ribs. I want that stuff on anything.
You know what?
Give me a chicken salad sandwich. Yeah. I'm going to eat that on it. No, it is good. But it's sweet. I mean.
Oh, it's rich. Yeah.
I don't know how you could work it into like your savory dish. I don't think it'd work.
Tyler, you said that chocolate cobbler is one of the best things you've had lately, isn't
it? It's so good. Like, we took home the rest because y'all didn't want it. Take it home because you don't want to eat on it, I guess. And my kids and like all of us were just like, we ate it. There wasn't a lot left, but we ate every last bite. Every last thing out of that pan was gone.
Good. I knew what would happen if we took it.
I know.
That's 10 pounds. I'm trying to do good. I was like, if I take that home, I'm blowing everything. I'm going to eat the whole pan.
Now, this is a good time for us to pay some bills.
Let's pay them. The How to Barbecue Right podcast is brought to you by our friends at Primo Grills. Shell, did you know that Primo is the only ceramic grill made right here in the good old USA?
What? Are you telling me that Primo Grills are proudly crafted here in the USA, ensuring top-notch quality and support for local craftsmanship?
I sure am. Plus, Primo Grill not only delivers mouth-watering flavor, but because of their innovative oval design and superior ceramic construction, Primo Grills also gives you a ton of cooking versatility.
Whether you're smoking low and slow or searing a steak to perfection, Primo Grills gives you the consistent heat distribution for mouth-watering results every time.
What she said, y'all. Y'all visit PrimoGrill.com and check them out.
So last weekend, we went to Gatlinburg.
We spent our Easter in Gatlinburg. First time I've ever been to Gatlinburg. Let me tell you, you better like people. And
it's very people-y. Yeah.
It's a crowd. And you better like strollers and kids.
And lines. The food was fine. Everything we got was fine. You know, just we got some decent pizza.
I had one of the better meals of my life there.
But the Chesapeake's was fire.
Yeah. This is not a paid advertisement. If y'all are in Gatlinburg, go to Chesapeake's because it was fantastic. First off, they take you through the restaurant past the raw bar.
And they had lobsters in a tank.
Oh, tank. Yeah.
And they were pulling them out.
In Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
I was like, they're not close to the ocean at all, but they are trucking in some, they must be airlifting that stuff in because there ain't no trucks getting in there with that much traffic.
They had like.
How do you think they do it at night? They must get deliveries at night or
they
something.
They have to because it's too crazy.
Do you imagine trying to get through there after 9 a.m.? I mean, it's just wall to wall, cars and people.
But anyway, they had an oyster menu. Like a lot of places are like, we have oysters.
Yeah.
They had like, we have these oysters from this location.
We have 12 species.
Yeah, they had the different species.
Maybe more than a dozen species. And you bought them, you could buy individually? Like you could try one of all of them, or you could get like a half dozen of each species, which we tried two different ones. We tried some Prince Edward Island and one from Chesapeake.
Yeah.
And they were both different. I mean.
Different size, yeah. Different.
Different flavor, different brininess. I mean,
I'd love if we ever had the opportunity to go to a really great place like that and just sit at the raw bar and just try all the, you know.
Just do oyster shot after oyster shot.
Just to compare side by side by side.
We had Michael shooting oysters right out of the shell. Like, you don't need the cracker. You don't need the stuff. Just taste the brine. Maybe put you a little bit of hot sauce or a little touch of horseradish.
Or spot
squeeze a lemon over it and just suck it right out of the shell and get all that briny goodness. And they were fantastic. Then they had the crab claws, or they called them crab fingers. Those were really, they're not the fried ones.
Yeah, they weren't fried. They were served in drawn butter.
Yeah.
And you just kind of rolled it around in there. And then I had a surf and turf, which was a filet and a lobster tail. And the filet, when you put your fork on it, it would just go.
It was really good.
That's how you know it's a good steak.
Table side whole lobster, too. Yeah. That's an experience. I've never done that. I did it right there for you. Like, broke it down, and there you go. There's your whole lobster.
Anyway, I would highly recommend that restaurant. Yes. It was one of the better ones I've been to lately.
How about the blue cheese stuffed olives and the martini?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Those are hand stuffed, too.
And you're sitting right there on the little Pigeon River.
Yeah, you're watching the water. You might see a bear.
We did see one right up under the back of it. I know why he's hanging out there. He knew where the best spot was. They probably feed him oysters right out the back door.
He's eating lobster shells.
Yeah. He's getting all that goodness right there.
I was on my first waking with the baby and my phone dinged and I was like, what is that? And I like remember half, like when I woke up the next morning, I was like, did I watch a video with a bear last night? Like, why am I thinking about this? And I went back through my phone and I was like, yep, there it is.
I was from me to Shell right here, like this distance right here, Tyler, to that bear.
It's crazy.
We were, where were we coming from? Blake Shelton's bar, Red. We've been in there singing my heart out. But ran into some people that kind of recognize us. Listen to the podcast. Shout out to y'all. But we sat in there and we came out and where we were staying was like kind of right around the corner. And there's a guy standing out. I think he worked there. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, y'all want to see a bear? And I was like, that's the only thing I wanted to do in Gatlinburg was see a bear. I was like, where is it at? You know, I'm looking all around. He's like, it's right here. And he's like, and I looked down and it was right there just chilling.
It was like a little bridge we were walking over, and he was like right underneath.
Right
the under,
right in the nook of it, right there. And you're like on the rail, and then the bear.
And he was just he.
I don't get that close to him at the zoo. Yeah, like
he
for
was
real.
Just like, what's up?
Yeah.
My wife said she's been going to Gatlinburg for 20 years, and she's only ever seen one bear like 10 years ago. Really? So it's crazy that y'all just.
I think you just have to hang around the back of restaurants where the dumpsters and stuff are. I kind of figured that out. So anytime late we went night, somewhere, I'd go out back. If it was close to that little river. I would go around the side of it, try to see if there's a bear up under there hiding.
One thing that we got, people were selling cookie dough by the scoops, raw cookie dough by the scoops.
That should be illegal.
We've got to try this.
Yeah.
So we got just one scoop and split it between the three of us. And
I thought it was ice cream. Good. I thought it was like going to be cookie dough ice cream because you go in this little shop, and there's tons of those little shops, but they've got the counter sitting there with these big buckets of stuff in it. You know, it looks like
scooping it with an ice cream scoop.
Looks like going to Baskin Robbins.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, here's you, how many scoops you want? And I said, we'll just do one. How about that? Let's start there.
Some people getting like double scoops.
I saw this one kid had three scoops. Now, you know that jerk's going to be wired up for a week. If he made it, because this stuff was like, it was the sweetest thing I ever ate in my life.
It was so sweet. It was good.
We like three of us split one. I only took like two little bites of it, and it was like, wow. But it was delicious. It tastes like cookie butter is what it was like. It wasn't like froze or anything. It was just raw.
Oh, it's perfect.
Cookie dough. Yeah.
Perfect.
Could you take that and bake it, you think, and turn it into
I don't know. I doubt there's like raw eggs in it. You know, I don't know if that affects the baking process, but
pretty much just it was sugar
and flour.
Yeah. I don't know. Good. It was good. Yeah. If I ever get a chance to try that, I'd say at least go do a sample.
On the way home, we stopped by Bucky's and got a brisket sandwich.
What do you
and
think
a brisket
about,
taco. That was, did you get a brisket taco?
Yeah. It was scrambled eggs and then cheese and brisket.
How does Bucky's brisket stack up to those that you've had out?
Way up there.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It is way up there. I don't know if there's anything better at a gas station.
Oh, they got a gas station.
Yeah. Locked
not
down.
Locked down. I'm talking about restaurant.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. It's better than brisket restaurants I've been to.
You know what's really good is they have like the sliced turkey sandwiches, the smoked turkey. That's really, really good.
What's the one?
I accidentally got one.
they call it something. You'd have to look it up.
It was like three different meats or something.
On one sandwich, it was like, I don't know what all it was, but that sandwich was really good.
I thought I was getting a brisket and I got that one, but it was pretty delicious. Yeah. I think
you can go to Bucky's and it's like, okay, I'm just going to go in, we're going to use the bathroom and like get a drink or something. $182 later. Man, they trap you. You get in there and it's
well,
just
like. You
bought
like a gift for your mom. And
yeah. You have to. You can't just. And there was all kinds of stuff I wanted to buy, you know, other than what I did. You got this little cart, little tote, you're toting around, just putting stuff in it before you know it is loaded down.
And you're like, oh, I got to try the beaver nugget. I've never had this kind of Bucky's O's before.
Oh, yeah. By the time you pick up pecans, beaver nuggets, you get a drink, and then you get a water.
Yeah, you get a backup drink.
Yeah, you get a backup drink because you go try something. Yeah. And then you get a sandwich, and then you get a kolache, and then you get a beaver tail. You get some boiled eggs. I mean, it's just like it all goes in the basket. And if you get up there.
Tell me about how you've been doing good.
Yeah.
It's like a cult, though. Like, there's pajamas and, like, all kinds of stuff. They do, like, seasonal drops and stuff. So there's people that go there, like, and get all the seasonal stuff. It's,
I have some Bucky's Christmas pajamas. They're, like, my favorite.
I've got a fire pit from Bucky's. Like, that, one of those big fire. I had to have one. I think I got that one in Alabama.
You did. Coming back from Royal Oak.
Yeah, because we just happened to have a truck. And I was like, oh, I'm getting that fire pit this time. Because most of the time you're in a car or something. You ain't got room. You got all the luggage and everything. I got me a fire pit from Bucky's.
They had a collapsible table I was eyeing, like a tailgate table, you know?
Yeah, I saw all that. That was pretty cool. That double-seater thing was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a double-seater tailgate.
I know what it is, because everybody's going in there, and they're in like a frenzy, and everybody's running around grabbing stuff, so it makes you think you got to grab stuff. They've got it figured out. They're probably pumping it full of oxygen like they do the casinos. they got it to where you can't figure out which entrance you came in. You're like, you're just in there. The Hotel California gas stations. But they got the nicest bathrooms, man. It's like you go in there and it's like a personal suite.
They do.
They've even got cleaner in the bathroom. Like, and it tells you, like, okay, before you use the toilet, here's the stuff. You put this on it and you wipe it this way. You know, it's like the airplane instructions. Like,
really?
Yeah.
I've never noticed that.
Heck yeah. I was impressed.
But the brisket and their smoked turkey is pretty good. And there's a guy like standing behind there just constantly chopping up brisket on this big wooden.
Yeah, he's like, brisket ready. And they all chop brisket.
Is that what they say?
I don't know what they say, something like that.
But they're
that
hollering something.
The whole time. And then people just run over to it. It's like, get all that fresh brisket they chopped up. Man, that's a genius model. You can create all that buzz around it, and you got people lined up, and they're open 24 hours. Have you ever been to Bucky's where you were the only person in there?
No, but
I think those registers, if you could look at their like back of the house and see their numbers, it's just the wheel that just keeps on ticking, 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 ticking.
Like on Christmas vacation when he finally gets those lights to work, his odometer.
That's how Bucky's cash register does. And they pay their employees a crazy amount of money. Or at least on gas pumps, it shows you can make $250,000 working.
Oh, Michael.
What do you think you have to do at Bucky's to make $250,000? I was like, that's pretty good. I might need to rethink what I'm doing for a living.
Yeah.
I can cook brisket. You know? Yeah. Food service manager at Bucky's wouldn't be a bad gig. 2 weeks paid vacation, matching 401k to 6%.
Dang, you studied this.
I was pumping gas.
When we were leaving, Michael was calculating how much money he could make it working at Bucky's. <I know. laughs> And if I work night shift, you get an extra
$2. You get a $2 differential. That's what he told me. They pay you $2 more, Dad, if you work nights.
So I saw a TikTok this week. This lady got a 3-stack fish sandwich from McDonald's. Did you see it?
I showed that to Mikey. I was like, I have found your in-shell sandwich.
Extra tartar. Did you see it?
Yes, it was 3 fish patties.
3 fish patties on a regular bun with extra tartar sauce.
I think in that video, she said something about they were going to stack it up for her. She said, no, I'm stacking it myself. And like, she wanted the 3 sandwiches and then take them all and put them on it.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. She wanted to stack them herself. Can you imagine that? That has to be the nastiest thing.
I was kind of thinking it looked good.
You don't double stack a fish. First, you don't order a fish sandwich. And then you don't double stack them, but then she done triple stack the cheese sandwich. You think it was like fish, cheese?
There was no cheese. I didn't see cheese.
If it was McDonald's, you have to ask for no cheese, don't you?
Huh? No.
I don't know.
Yeah, you have to ask for no cheese.
I don't order fish sandwiches.
Anyway.
You're going to try that. What do you think it cost? $15?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, probably.
Triple fillet.
Are you getting
fish.
Triple fries too?
They should call it the big whaler. The big tuna or whatever. I don't know what kind of fish they use.
So baseball has kicked off.
It has.
And the other day on Sports Talk Radio, they were talking about a new sandwich that the Royals have added to their stadium ballpark menu foods.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just want to talk to you about ballpark foods. Find out what's your fave.
Barbecue nachos.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That'd be number one.
A hot dog with a steamed bun.
Yeah. Ballpark dog.
Oh, just plain old ballpark dog.
That's what you'd think of that.
And nachos. Those two. And a beer. Mm-hmm.
Tyler, what's the most interesting ball food you've seen? You've been to some ballparks.
Probably at Angels Stadium in Anaheim, they have taquitos, which is, I guess, kind of weird for a baseball stadium. And they're probably, like, to this day, probably some of the best taquitos I've ever had. There's nothing really crazy different about them than just a normal taquito, but I guess the way they're prepared is just really, really good. So
the one they were talking about that caught my attention was the...
Is it the pulled pork?
What's no.
It's called a barbecue Reese's is what I'm talking about.
Oh, no. Tell me about this. Wait a minute. Reese's peanut butter cups?
So it's got pulled pork,
yeah.
Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, bacon bits, and then Reese's peanut butter cups.
Take two things out of that and you got some good. Either way. One? Well, one of them just goes in the garbage, the bacon bits.
Yeah.
I don't need, because you know.
Homemade bacon bits.
Homemade bacon bits might work.
Let's pretend.
But I am not the imitation salad bar crunchy ones. Mm-hmm. No, that'll ruin something. The Sweet Baby Ray's and the pulled pork, that'll work all day long.
You wouldn't try the one with Reese's peanut butter cups?
I just, no.
I feel like it would work.
Bacon bits and Reese's pieces with barbecue sauce and pulled pork.
The barbecue sauce and the pulled pork, the bacon bits, I don't, you know, whatever.
Where are they serving this at? Like at
Royals.
Oh, that's the one in Kansas City? Mm-hmm. Huh, I'd have figured Denver or California, somewhere where they get really good and stoned. I wouldn't think of Kansas City on that one. So, you ought to know better.
But so I got to looking at some other ballpark recipes, and I got a few to run by you.
What about the one I was going to bring up was okay. The one that sounded interesting was the Dungeness Crab Pizza.
That one's on my list.
Is that on your list? Yeah. That sounds interesting. That was in Seattle or somewhere, wasn't it?
Hold on. But, yeah, Seattle, Washington, yeah. The Mariners. It's a crispy, thick sourdough crust topped with shredded Dungeness crab meat, melted butter, herbs like dill, thyme, and then Parmesan and a splash of lemon.
I'm going to have to say it. I'm going to try that. I don't know if I'd eat it at a ballpark.
Yeah.
That scares me with them handling crab meat.
I'm going to need at least a table, chair, knife, fork.
Maybe you need to do a few of these and we'll recreate. We'll do some our versions, recreate versions of ballpark food. The craziest ballpark food. And I'll do that Reese's one and we'll try it. I'll make some bacon bits.
Yeah.
How do they serve that on a sandwich? Or
yeah, it's a sandwich. It's between two buns.
Okay. Are the Reese's like chopped?
Yeah, they look chopped.
We'll work on that.
They look like they've been chopped up in the picture that I saw.
Yeah.
So the Padres in San Diego have Berea egg rolls.
Now that would be really good.
I thought so too.
It's going to be like a chimichanga though. That's what what's what I'm thinking.
Or a taquito a little bit. Yeah.
That it's can't be tucked bad. On the what end. Do you duck it in? Do you duck it in the consomme? Or
a creamy dipping sauce.
Oh, creamy avocado
and
sauce.
And sliced Fresno chilies. That's what it comes with.
I'm going to have to say I'd try that. Mm. That sounds good. Is there anything that you got on your list that I probably wouldn't try?
Maybe. There's a extra long, foot long Serrano hot dog, which means it's a big hot dog that has smoked bacon, ranch beans, mayo, mustard, pico de gallo.
Beans. You got me on the beans. But I mean, I like chili dogs, but I'm more of a chili sauce, you know.
But it's not chili.
Ranch beans is like chili.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's like cowboy beans or whatever. It's kind of like.
And that's not that crazy, really. In Denver, you can get a dino rib, a big old 20-ounce beef rib.
I bet you the ballpark, that thing's $60. Yeah. I mean, they're $30 at a restaurant. How are they going to ballpark that?
I know. The Mets have a Mets championship burger. This one sounds pretty good. So they say it's made with the famous Pat LaFrieda beef. I'm not familiar, but apparently it's good quality beef. Topped with a creamy Maine lobster seafood salad with a cheesy lobster fondue on a brioche bun.
I don't know about that one either.
Really? I would try that one.
At a ballpark.
That one's also got to be like $60 for lobster and stuff.
That's just what gets me. Like, how are they cutting the cost and how are they mass producing this?
Yeah.
And then who's doing it? Are we talking about somebody that's making minimum wage at a ballpark? Or
you're overthinking this. I just need you to tell me whether you want to try it or not.
The recipe.
Yes.
Yeah.
The recipe. If someone was going to make it special.
That one sounds just like, I don't know. You can take a bite of it, but I can't imagine eating it.
Lobster and cheese don't necessarily seem like they go together.
That's right. That's what I was thinking.
The Padres have a Renegade hot dog. It's a 12-inch dog with shredded pot roast, caramelized onions, pickles, and mini pierogies.
God, they're just trying to kill for it. Pot roast and pierogies on a hot dog.
And they're little bitty.
Yeah.
They're like mini pierogies. The brewers in Milwaukee have something called Doggone Foul, which is a hot dog, you know, bun, dog.
Hot dog bun.
Chicken tender with ranch. Then you got cheese, tater tots, and a secret stadium sauce. So basically, they just keep piling stuff onto buns.
Yeah, that's all it is. Let's see what we can pile on there crazy and market it.
I love this one. So in Cincinnati, you can get those little team helmets, you know, that you put the snacks in. They fill it with nacho cheese.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Now you got my attention. And they give you two, like, baby smash burgers to dip it in. Okay. I would be about
I've seen
that
them
way.
Do the sundaes. I don't know if it's at a ballpark or wherever they, but, you know, it's like ice cream in one of the helmets. I've never seen nacho cheese.
It seems like a good amount of nacho cheese.
Here's an idea for them. Why don't they do, like, the barbecue sundaes in those little helmets?
With, ooh, like,
that's a good one for somebody to do.
And all that. Good.
In Detroit, you can get a pierogi grilled cheese slider.
I don't know if I've ever had a pierogi. Have you?
Mm-mm, it's kind of like
potato dumpling.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Is that what it is?
They're real good. Trader Joe's has a good frozen pierogi, actually.
They have meat in them?
I think they can. The ones that I've had haven't, but.
It's kind of like gnocchi, kind of?
No, it's more like a dumpling, like an Asian dumpling. Oh. I mean, they're prepared a little differently and folded a little differently, but. It's the same concept. As
I'd probably like a I'd probably like them. It's just made out of potatoes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then it's filled with whatever you want to fill it.
Gotcha.
But this one is a potato pierogi on a slider bun with sauerkraut, cheese sauce, and good old Velveeta.
I don't know about that one either.
I'd just rather have the pierogi.
Ballparks I go to are different.
All right. Well, the Braves have two lobster tails, three fried oysters, sweet potato fries, candied bacon, lettuce, tomatoes, and a spicy peach remoulade on a bun.
Where do they have that? Because I've been to that state a bunch, and I've never seen that. And I've been in the good seat, and I've been in the bad seats, and I've never seen that. Now, if you'd have told me they got the baseball full of beer, I would have said, yes, they do. Guarantee you. They've got at least three or four of those. And I've seen somebody bash one.
But anyway.
Interesting. Ballpark food's great, man. I love going.
I do too. I just thought those would be some, you know, something different. But it kind of sounds like they just pile up a bunch of stuff on a bun.
Yeah.
What can we put on this?
What can we make crazy on a bun?
Yeah. And almost like a press release, you know, PR type thing.
I mean, I guess it gets eyeballs on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like they're all kind of competing to have this like really cool baseball.
Yeah.
I don't think around here we have anything like that crazy. Like I feel like the Redbird Stadium and the FedEx Forum both like it's basically just like good barbecues.
So yeah.
Around
barbecue nachos.
Sausage cheese plate and stuff like that.
That is true. You can get a sausage and cheese plate at the FedEx Forum. Mm. And I don't think you can get that too many places, probably.
And it's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Like, really good.
So I got some questions for you.
From the community?
From the community. So Jake is looking for advice. He needs to cook pork butts one day and reheat them the next day for sandwiches.
They do pretty well.
I think that's the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, really, really it is. I try to keep it whole as much as possible when I pull it. Like don't
you have a completely different method than
yeah I yeah you like yeah you like pulling it and vacuum sealing it
mm-hmm.
But I would rather leave it whole, rewarm it, and then pull it fresh because I just think it holds more moisture that way. It tastes like you just cooked it that day. But you got to have a way to reheat it.
The problem is the reheating process to me.
So how do you like to do it?
Well, how do you reheat it whole? And I
put it back on a grill or, okay. I mean, you can do it in the oven. Just keep full on it. Keep them drying out. You can add a little bit extra like apple juice or some moisture in there just to make a little steam to warm it up and then let it warm up. And then when you pull it, it's like being fresh.
I like to take it off the smoker, let it rest, do its thing, pull it. And then that's when you add seasoning, sauces, whatever you want to do, vacuum seal it. And then when you go to reheat it, you can either drop it in a sous vide and reheat it in water, or you could just pop it in the microwave, put it in a pan. It's just so much easier.
We've even crock-potted it. We've even like put that bag in a crock pot, kept it on low, and let it warm up, and then you bust the bag, and it's good to go. So it's a good way. That's another way to do it. It's fine. Pulled pork is one of the meats that does do good reheated. So you're not, you know, whichever way you choose, that's an easy option. I probably wouldn't just pull it, put it in a pan, put foil over it, and then try to reheat it in an oven or something like that.
It'd be real dry.
It does better when you keep it in some type of vacuum seal bag, or at least like a freezer bag, and get all the air out of it. Just try to keep it as compact. But the main thing is, you know, get it down to where you can cool enough to where you can pull it, get it bagged, and then get it like in the refrigerator as fast as you can, because you want to get it chilled down as fast as possible. You know, you're going to reserve it to the public. Got to watch those temperatures. You don't want to make anybody sick off of them.
Mm-hmm. Chase asks, the USDA recommends using cooked meat within 3 to 4 days. And I've always went by that. Does anybody ever push it past that? And did you die?
I guarantee you some people do.
I've got friends that eat
2-week-old meat.
I've seen you eat a week old.
I'm a pretty strict stickler for leftovers. It's not one of my favorite. There's only a few things that I like leftover.
I've seen you eat ham for 2 weeks.
Ham. I'll eat on a spiral ham or double smoked ham till it's gone. I don't know if it goes bad in the refrigerator.
That one is a little different.
Yeah, because it's been cured. But what else? You're not going to see me eat on chicken that long, or shrimp, or
for a week, 7 days. I've seen you go 6 or 7
on chicken.
No. Maybe not chicken
or seafood.
Steak. I've seen you do steak. A brisket.
Yeah, brisket definitely. I would. Steak's never going to make it that long in my house. What do you mean leftover steak? What is leftover steak?
That's true.
That's never going to happen. Roast, if I do like a Mississippi pot roast or something like that, I'm probably going to make 2 or 3 dishes out of that. That's going to turn into soup eventually. The very last stage is going to be soup.
That's why I hated pot roast growing up, because it's like, we're going to be eating this pot roast
till it's gone
for the next 4 days.
Yeah.
And some different iteration. So Tony, he didn't have a question, but I thought this was interesting. He's got a bunch of stuff that he adds to his seafood bowls, like your crawfish bowls and stuff. Did you see this?
Yes.
One?
I thought that was genius.
Yes. So he adds fresh ravioli. Love that idea. Delta tamales.
That was one that got me. Like, we could go to Kroger, buy those frozen tamales that are like in the little packs, and then you could do them inside in the crawfish bowl. I would tie them up and just drop them off in there.
He does frozen gyoza dumplings.
That's a good idea too, man. That was fantastic.
You could do pierogies too, I guess.
Yeah. Same. I mean, you know, the ravioli, because we've done those fresh raviolis. And you find them over, like, usually on the cheese aisle in our stores is where they are, because they're right before you get to the cheeses. That's where they have the fresh pasta in refrigeration. And you just drop them dudes in, and they go to floating, and they're just going to soak up.
But you've never put them in crawfish bowls.
No. Imagine, like, a cheese and crawfish ravioli that you did in the crawfish bowl? Oh, man, that would be so good.
It would be good. It'd be easy to do if you could find them frozen and ready to go.
I would say make your own. It's not that hard to do raviolis, is it?
I don't know. I've never made raviolis. It's pretty tough. Is it?
Really, just getting your pasta consistency right is crazy, because a ravioli is kind of thick. Mm-hmm. It's not as thin, but like there's a fine line there, and getting your ravioli thin enough to like make it a ravioli, it's just, it's a process.
I've never done it, but I figure I could do it.
He could do it.
Oh, yeah.
You used to get that little roller and get your dough laid out and scoop your meat down and put the dough on top and roll it down and crimp it up. And
if you decided you wanted to get into dumpling making, I could see you spending days on it and being really good. And then, or raviolis.
Yeah.
But Marty asks, competition ribs, butts, ribs, chicken, what's everyone's favorite injection to use?
Mm.
Do you have a brand?
I'm going to tell you the ones that I like now. It's going to be Heath Riles. That's the ones. But a second would be the Big Papa's.
Does Butcher still make his?
Yeah, David's got some good stuff too. I hadn't seen anything from him in a while, but yeah, he's got some good products too. Those are some good ones.
Is there a big difference between them?
I mean, there's a difference. I don't know if it's huge. I mean, most of them have some form of phosphate to help stuff retain moisture. Then they're going to have some type of seasoning to go into that specific meat inside it. And then whatever you mix it up with.
Ramey just got a 16-pound American Wagyu brisket.
That sounds good.
Who just that?
It's getting close to lunch. Brisket three times a day.
They have successfully cooked a couple choice briskets and a few prime briskets. Is there anything they should adjust when cooking a Wagyu?
No, it's just know that you might have to push it a little further. If you can cook a choice brisket, you can kill. You know, a choice brisket's way harder to cook. Cook it till that dude's soft, and then, I mean, depending on where you got your Wagyu brisket, I mean, some of those we're getting from Kevin at the butcher shop. These guys are running them up 215 degrees, and they're doing fine. You know, hot and fast cooking them like that, and it's excellent brisket. So, Wagyu to me, you paying the money for kind of that insurance. It's got so much internal fat in it that it's hard to dry them out. So they're not bad to crumble on you. They're not bad to overcook. You know, you can cook that dude up. I'd say to be safe, take it to at least 202, but wherever it feels good, wrap that dude up tight, stick it in a cooler, let it hang out for several hours. And it's probably going to be, I would just say it's going to be the best brisket you ever ate. Cause it, I mean, yeah, it'll blow you away. Now, can you eat them all the time? No, they're expensive, but, but man, they're good. Oh, I had from that Heart brand beef at Acushia beef. We ain't talked about that yet. Man, that was some good diggum tri-tip.
Well,
we cooked one yesterday. Well, y'all will see a recipe on this later on. But man, that was some good stuff.
It was a good tri-tip. Yeah, that's Mike, for later.
Mike Radosovich put me on that. He's like, you ever tried this stuff? He's like, this is what I order. You got to get it. And I said, all right, I'll try it.
We'll talk about what is it, Acushia?
That's what it says.
Acushia beef.
It's supposed to be the best tasting beef on the world, is what some people say.
And heart healthy for some reason. We'll figure out.
I didn't figure that angle.
Yeah.
Heart healthy.
We'll save that for.
It wasn't healthy for the daggum cow, was it? He was probably happy because he was fat. But I guarantee you his heart was not healthy. He probably wouldn't have lived much longer. It's not a longevity program.
Well, Malcolm, that's all I have for you today.
That's it. Tyler, what do we have going on in the community before we get out of here?
Well, like they are talking about crawfish, because I'm thinking for the next giveaway, we're probably going to give away some stuff for crawfish bowling or something like that.
That's cool.
We'll get all that worked out and stuff. But in the meantime, if y'all head on over to facebook.com/group/H2Q community, you can go ahead and join up. And whenever that post goes live, you'll be notified. It'll be at the top. And in the meantime, you can post all your recipes, share comments all through the weekend. If y'all are smoking, grilling up anything, come hang out with us.
All right. Well, Shell, tell them where they can find us.
If you'd like to connect with Malcolm, it's HowToBBQRight on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and of course, YouTube. What is that for?
It's not Twitter no more. It's the X.
Oh, okay. I thought you were giving me some, like, Steve Cold Austin. Stone Cold Austin.
Degeneration X, man.
Throwing up the gang signs over here.
Okay. On X.
Hey, brother.
If you'd like to connect with me, Miss Southern Shell on Instagram TikTok.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate y'all putting up with us here today. It's been a fun one, and hope everybody has a great weekend, and let's get the smoke rolling. We'll see y'all next week. We gone.